clock hour.
What will be established with
Joe Thomas as our cousin sub of the day. Cousin sub, we believe it better. Begins now. Great conversation between Jesse and Joe about the state of affairs with Badgers football. And again, if you missed that, I didn't because I listened to it on my walk down to practice. You can find that at the ESPN Wisconsin app. Marshawn Lloyd is out here at practice. He is standing on the sideline. Everyone else is in pads. The running backs are hit the sled. And he's a spectator. So, again, we don't have any further details on what the injury actually is or how long he'll be out. We'll see if Marshawn is in the locker room when we go in there after practice. But that was one of the headlines from this morning's session with Hootie at that late court. But right now they are into padded practice number two, and the offensive linemen are going through their drill work. I think I got down here a little too late for one-on-one pass rush, pass protection, which Joe mentioned earlier, we all keep score on. Not all of us, but Joe, I always wondered if I was my scorecard was correct when I did it. Because a draw is always a win, right? Like for you, a draw is a win, and a win is a win. The only thing that is winning for a pass rusher is getting past you and getting into the back, right? So what was your – were you undefeated? We know your scraps, your snap streak. What was your streak in one-on-one? How important of a part of practice is that when we get into pass?
Yeah, it's interesting. My record is similar to my snap streak because I went 10 and a half years, never missed a snap in – the game, and then one-on-one pass rush, I never lost a rep in 10 and a half years either, which is great because one-on-one pass rush is a great drill. I mean, it is hard to win. Everything's slanted towards the defense, but there also is this like plausible deniability within an O-line meeting room where like if you do get beat, unless you just fall on your face and the guy runs past you, then we know, okay, who won. But as long as you're making contact, the excuse in the O-line room is always going to be like, oh, well, the quarterback, he would have stepped up in the pocket or he would have slid to his right a little bit. So you always have that. As long as you got your hands on the guy and you're kind of trying to move him past the quarterback, you can always talk yourself into how that was a win in one-on-one pass rush.
So did you like you really never lost a rep?
In my mind, it's like holding. I never had a holding call that was legit either.
It's not.
No, I think Myles Garrett, he got me plenty. I mean, I only played against him 1 year when he was a rookie, and it was my last season, but that guy was a monster. I'm glad I'm not blocking him every day in practice right now.
So when you would go into those sessions, though, could you tell the guys – like, obviously, you mentioned Myles Garrett your last year, but like other guys that came through during your time there in Cleveland, could you tell the guys that had a chance just based on what they did against you, even if they didn't beat you?
Oh, yeah, you can tell right away because, you know, when they're a young guy, a lot of times they only have a few moves. And I got really good at looking at their body positioning in the snap and like how far away they were. And based on what they've done in the past, I kind of knew what they were going to rush me with. And so I wasn't really surprised by the moves that they would try to give me, but you could tell by the power, like when they run into you and boom, oh, you can really feel them. And all of a sudden they're starting to move you back and you have to make an adjustment. I got to put my heels in the ground. I got to sit down a little bit more on this guy. So you can kind of feel that power. And then you can also feel how reactive they are. You know, I think one of the things that the Watt brothers were so good at is they were like wrestlers, right? Like first touch was important, but they could feel where you were leaning as an offensive lineman and then use it against you, right? JJ's big thing was he would take both of his hands, put them in your chest. He would try to shock you back, make you feel like you were going to get run over, so you get on your heels, and then he'd jerk you forward, and then he'd swim around you. So just how quickly they can feel where you're leaning, you can feel that in one-on-one pass rush. And I think to me that's a big indicator of how quickly they're going to be reacting and responding to what the offense is giving them in front of them. And that's a big indicator of if they're going to be successful in the NFL or not.
So the reason I ask is obviously this team not great at getting after the quarterback last year. You know, we watched Philadelphia and what they were able to do, especially after Elton Jenkins with that stinger after four snaps. I mean, the Eagles completely owned the line of scrimmage with their front four. They didn't have to send simulated pressure. They didn't have to send blitzes. They were able to generate a really dominant pass rush with their front four. The Packers, not so much, right? And they had a few games where they put up really big sack numbers. I think they had 8 against Seattle. They had 9 against Tennessee. That's 17 of their, like, 41, 45 sacks they had last season, all in those two games. And so the numbers don't look as bad as it felt with their pass rush. And so, you know, you look at Rashawn Gary, who is now entering year 7. You look at Lucas Van Ness, who's going into year 3. You look at Devontae Wyatt, who got off to a pretty strong start. Then he hurt his ankle, but he was, you know, he was creating pressure inside. And then you look at Kenny Clark, who battled an injury from the very first game in Brazil on, and had probably his worst season. So it, when you're looking and evaluating pass rushers, and you're looking at whether or not they could come in and get the job done without the blitzes, without this, without the trickeration, if you will, what are you looking for? And do you see that in these guys? Because, you know, my line about Rashawn Gary is, you know, here's a guy that he's paid like an elite pass rusher, but he can't be an elite pass rusher if you've never had double-digit sack season. I understand sacks are not the only way that pass rushers are evaluated, but nobody's saying, oh, Myles Garrett is an elite pass rusher. Career high with 9.5 sacks in the season. So how do you view the Packers' pass rush, and how do you know if in year 2 in this system they may actually be able to be good without having to send all the other tricks and blitzes that they had to do like?
Well, you mentioned that was a big part of the Eagles' success, winning the Super Bowl this year. If you can get home with just your front four and you don't have to blitz anybody, it makes it so hard for a quarterback because he just has so much fewer holes to be able to throw into in that secondary because you just got more bodies back there. And, you know, not everybody's going to have the Eagles' pass rush. It's one of the best defensive lines of all time was what they had last year, and they're bringing a bunch of those guys back. But I think looking at Rashawn Gary, you're hoping that the return from that major knee injury is going to continue to improve and progress, because I had a torn ACL when I was in college going into my senior year, and it really took up until year 2, and even in year 3 and 4, I was feeling stronger and better on that knee. So those knee injuries do take a little bit of time, and I think figuring out your place within a defense does take a little bit of time sometimes. Obviously, there are always those outliers, those Myles Garretts, but you know, he's one of the great pass rushers of all time, so it's really not fair to kind of compare a guy like that to a guy who you feel like has Pro Bowl potential and who could be a difference maker. But I think year 2 is a big deal for somebody in a defense because you're starting to understand, when can I take my chances? And at first, you just don't want to be the guy that's out of position. You don't want to screw up and get out of your gap and allow the quarterback to escape. And then now, you know, you're the reason we had an 80-yard touchdown pass. What the heck are you doing? Blah, blah, blah. And it's important for those guys to learn when they can take those chances, how they fit into that defense. I'm a defensive end. I know that because I'm protected by my outside linebacker or somebody in the outside if the quarterback breaks free. So now I'm going to set that tackle up upfield, make him think I'm giving him that speed rush, and now I can dip inside and potentially try to make a game-changing play. And I think Coach Hafley's defense is very fundamentally sound. It's very difficult to go and get big plays on him because they don't make a lot of busts. But because of that, you know, there's a lot of times when guys feel like they're in their box and they're not allowed to leave their gap, and I have to keep rushing this gap, and everybody knows it, including the tackle I'm going against. But finding those windows, finding those times where you do get the green light to be a little bit more creative with your rush, to talk and set up a game with your defensive tackle, and so you're able to get free and manufacture a little bit of pressure besides just beating your man one-on-one. I think that's a huge thing that you learn in year 2 when you're in a defense like Coach Hafley's. And I'm really looking for Lucas Van Ness. I know he's a guy that's got incredible speed. He's got the power. He's got all the tools, and now it's just a matter of, okay, I've spent the time in practice in the offseason working on my craft, improving the technique, understanding the nuances of the game and when I should set the guy up, when I should bull rush him, when it's a better time. Okay, the quarterback might be dropping short. I need to get my hands up, try to get in the passing lanes, knock the football down. Okay, you know, it's 3rd and 7. I see the tackle. He's leaning back a little bit in his stance more. I see their formation. I recognize that they usually have 3 plays out of here, and all of them I'm okay to be able to set the guy upfield and spin back inside. It's those little games within the game that you get better at as you improve, and then you're allowed to peel back that onion and find the potential that these guys have to be those great pass rushers. And then all it takes is one or two, and then you build on that confidence. And then we always talk about sacks coming in bunches and where guys are playing off each other, and then an offensive line, they're starting to scratch their head and look for answers. Oh, I don't know, this guy I can't handle him. I need some help. We need to slide this way. And then now the other guys are able to feast.
All right, so I want to bounce a theory off of you next. And Jesse and Tausch have heard it. Everyone else across ESPN Wisconsin, because I've come so many times during this offseason. But given your experience and, unfortunately, the lack of maybe team success that you experienced during your NFL career, I am curious about the number of players on this team that have shown flashes of being really good but haven't done it consistently. Because to me, this team going to where it wants to go is going to be counting on a lot of guys that have had good moments, but not consistent playing at that level. We'll talk to Joe Thomas, our cousin sub of the day, cousin subs, we believe in better, about that next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Continuing with Joe Thomas, the Pro Football Hall of Famer, and slightly lower on his resume, today's Cousin Subs Sub of the Day. Cousin Subs, we believe you better, on Wildy and Tausch. Walk by a sign for Associated Bank on my way down to practice, and of course Associated Bank is the official bank of the Packers, and not only that, they're the official bank of great customer service. They've got the awards to prove it, so whether it's early pay, credit monitoring, fraud protection, or your Packers, Badgers, and Brewers checking accounts, they've got exactly what you need. So go to AssociatedBank.com to find out more. Joe, I have a theory about this team, and it's one of the more interesting seasons for me because I honestly don't know what I should expect from them. There's part of me that thinks, okay, they had a lot of really good football players who now have experience, and it's time for them to elevate their games. That whole group of wide receivers, Jordan Love, right? However you want to view last season, he certainly didn't play as well as he did down the stretch of his first season as the starter. On defense, we just spent a lot of time talking about a bunch of pass rushers that have been inconsistent. They've got Edgerrin Cooper, who's looking to have a big second season. They've got Quay Walker, who did not get the fifth-year option, and they need him to elevate his game. They've got all these corners that none of them are a clear-cut CB1, and they all have something to prove as well. If those players play as well as they are capable of playing and doing consistently, I think this could be a damn good football team. So 12-5 and making a run to the divisional or even the NFC Championship. On the other hand, if all those guys are what they've been to this point, which is good players who show flashes of greatness but lack consistency and make mistakes at critical moments, then they're going to have a tough time against a tough schedule. So given your experience, what is realistic to expect from guys that, and I'm sure you had teammates like this, who had flashes where you're like, boy, this guy's really good. But I'm guessing you also had an experience as a player during some of those tougher years where you had guys where you're like, God, this guy should be really good, but he just can't do it consistently. So I'm curious what your expectations are for this team and what's realistic to expect from what I would argue is about a dozen guys who have to elevate their games from being good sometimes to being good almost all the time.
The one consistent with all those guys that you mentioned is their inconsistency, right? And I think that's what you're looking at right now with the Packers, and it all starts at the quarterback position, because as your quarterback goes, your team is going to go. And so if they're able to get more consistent play from Jordan Love, and now he's got another tool, a little weapon out on the outside that Packer fans are actually going bananas over because the Packers finally drafted a receiver in the first round, Matthew Golden. I was actually up at the draft in Green Bay working on the stage, and it was so cool seeing the response by all those Packer fans that stuck around late in the first round and seeing Matthew Golden get selected, because they know that, hey, this season and the seasons moving forward is all going to come down to Jordan Love and how he plays, and giving him that weapon that now you're going to have some expectations, you're going to get a little more consistent production out of the passing game, is really the foundation of everything we do. But the very first thing that happens when a young player comes into an NFL team is, like, everybody's looking from players, scouts, coaches to see the potential. Can that guy go out and make plays? And then as they get older, the hope and the excitement after you've realized, yeah, this guy's really got something. And we think he can be special. Now it's about reducing the number of mistakes you make, getting 1% better every single day, not making the same mistake twice. And those are obviously cliches, but it's really important. That's how you view an NFL practice. That's how you view your career. That's how you view a season. It's like, all right, if I can just make one less mistake than I made yesterday, I'm going to be a better player. And as you kind of continue to get closer and closer to perfection, pretty soon you become that reliable guy that everybody in the league, everybody in the room has confidence in and believes in, and is going to look to you now when things are tough or you're dealing with some adversity within a game or within a season. And it's interesting. And I think the Packers have done a great job drafting forever and ever, because they get those guys in that have talent, and now it's up to those players and those coaches to get a better level of consistency. And it starts with Jordan Love, and it'll trickle down to all those impact players that you mentioned.
So what has been your view of Jordan Love? Because it is a, you know, and Tausch gives me a hard time about this, because, you know, he says, I don't want the smoke of criticizing him. And I would disagree. I think I've been measured in my criticism of him, but I also think I've been realistic, right? So he was Rodgers-esque during the second half of 2023. He had a perfect passer rating in that Cowboys game until LaFleur panicked and put him back in. He threw a pass that Tucker Kraft dropped, and that dropped him to a 157.2 passer rating in that game. He was for two quarters. And all but the last pass of the third quarter, which was the first of his two interceptions, he was the best quarterback on the field in San Francisco or in Santa Clara, and he had the 49ers on the ropes. And that led to a feeling last offseason of, oh my gosh, look at where these guys are headed. Look where this guy is headed. And then he suffers the knee injury in Brazil. He misses two games. He has guys dropping passes. He has a groin injury at midseason. Those things all factor in. But as I've also said, part of playing quarterback in the NFL is figuring out a way to be effective when you're not 100% healthy. And that's part of the learning curve for him. I think he's a good quarterback. Am I going to put money down at Hard Rock Casino Rockford like Jesse and Pouch did that he's going to win the MVP this year? No. Would I put money down that he's going to win the MVP at some point during his career? I don't think I would, but I wouldn't be floored if he someday did. But I wouldn't put my money on. And so he is in this kind of, hey, we think this guy is good. Is he going to be great? Or is he going to be very good? Or is he always going to be pretty good and then make critical mistakes at critical times? Like his last five quarters and one play of playoff football, he's thrown five interceptions. And so where do you land on him? And where do you see him not only now, but if you're looking into the Joe Thomas Hall of Fame beef crystal ball, what do you see for him in the future?
That's a highly marbled and tender crystal ball, by the way.
My favorite crystal
Thank
ball.
Thank you. It's the
melts in your mouth.
Melt in your mouth crystal ball that Jesse has never experienced ever before in his life. But I think you mentioned it. It's the lack of confidence that Jordan had down the stretch, right, which is very common for young quarterbacks, especially somebody who's got receivers that have dropped some passes and maybe dealing with some injuries, some distractions in your own performance, in your own play. And then a lot of times quarterbacks go one way or the other, right? Remember Brett Favre, when his back was against the wall, he was injured, maybe some guys dropped some passes. He was just going to sling it because he didn't care about throwing an interception anymore. He didn't care about turnovers. And it worked for him because that was his personality. Jordan Love, a lot more risk averse, right? And so we saw down the second half of that season where he was afraid to throw interceptions. Now, he didn't really throw many until that playoff game against the Eagles, but He wasn't making the plays that he needed to at that position in November and December to be able to lead your team to victory, to have guys trust and believe in you. And I think that's why this Matthew Golden pick, it was huge, right? And it's hard to understate how important that receiver quarterback connection is, but it's especially important for a young quarterback who's had some success, who's done some really good things and shown potential that he could be that MVP guy like you talked about. But it's that consistent ability to overcome adversity and to have that playmaker that you can count on in those moments that you're saying, you know what? He's getting double covered. This is not where the ball is supposed to be thrown in this coverage, but I believe in you. I trust you that you're going to go up and make a play for me, and you're going to bail us and me out in this situation. And I think Matthew Golden is absolutely going to be that guy. So this is a huge training camp for him to get on the same page with Matthew, but also to wipe the slate clean and the idea of I can't throw an interception, I can't make any mistakes that I think he had lingering through the second half of the season and into the playoffs, and just start going out and playing with confidence and believe what your eyes are telling you, believe your arm can make that throw, and start making those throws so that you feel like you got a little swagger going into that season and you're feeling like this is the offense that I can take control of if I'm Jordan Love, and I can lead this team and put him on my back when I need to.
I'll say this. He has looked for, and again, I'm at the far end of the field doing our show, so I've got a bunch of those big old offensive linemen blocking my view of the 11-on-11 right now. But
scum.
Yeah, they're the worst. They're just, and I mean, my life is filled with them between you and Tauscher and Bulaga. I mean, I just can't shake them. But I will say this. The 11-on-11 plays that I have seen Jordan make, and I got to see all of Sunday's practice from start to finish, and I've been able to see the second half of practices when they're in 11-on-11 the last couple of days, and I will do that again today. He's been pretty sharp. He really has. I mean, the throw he made on Sunday where he had two rushers kind of closing in on him, and I know it's not live, but he eluded them, stepped up, made a subtle movement to create some space, and he threw a dart right on the money for a 49-yard touchdown to Dontavian Wicks. That's the Jordan Love we want to see if we're Packers fans, right? That's what Packers fans are eager to see from him. You know, he did have a throw on another day where he didn't see Tyron Hopper, the linebacker, and he put it right between the 5 and the 9 in his jersey, which obviously, as Matt LaFleur said, that was a bad decision. Yeah. But he's done that a few times during his career, right? So, again, he's not a young quarterback anymore. This is his sixth NFL season that we're talking about here, but it's his third as a starter, and we'll see if he elevates to the degree that we think he's capable of elevating to this season. And as I always point out, not because we're comparing him, but because I think it shows what can happen when you are fully ingrained in the system and feeling confident. Aaron Rodgers won a Super Bowl in his third season as the starter. He got some help, right? He got some help from DeSean Jackson with a punt return that allowed them to stay in the playoff hunt. They won their last two games to get into the playoffs, and then obviously winning all those games on the road to go win a Super Bowl was a pretty big deal. But Jordan Love doesn't have to take this team to the Super Bowl this year for me to say that he made a big stride forward and you feel a lot better about him as your quarterback moving forward. But he's got to be better than he was last year. And as I always say, what I love about that is that that's not me saying that. But Jordan Love's saying that. And I respect the heck out of him for being that, being wired that way. We need to get to Wonelly. Jesse is probably, I can't see you guys in the video anymore. Did he just take the whole container of Wagyu beef? He's just chowing down in the producer room. He's still the whole thing.
Yeah, Jesse's going to be unavailable for about the next 20 minutes, maybe longer, because he might need a nap after he gets the meat sweats and have an opportunity to just let things digest a little bit, because he just couldn't wait any longer. That's that beautiful soliloquy that you went on there. Jesse just said, I need some beef for this.
Sounds good, Jason.
I'm going to need a little bit of that beef here, baby. But I think the point that you made that's really interesting to me, I think the word for Jordan Love for the season is resiliency. How does he show that? Because he's had some great stretches, but then something happens and that adversity strikes and he's just not the same guy. And so how does he overcome those plays like he had in training camp like you mentioned, doesn't see the linebacker, throws it right to him. Okay, can you shake it off and go right back to throwing dimes? Or is that going to affect the next play and then the next play and then the rest of practice? So building that resiliency and building the confidence in yourself and in your receivers, I think, is a big step into having that resiliency to overcome the adversity that every season has, no matter who you are.
Or with Joe Thomas, our cousin sub of the day. Cousin subs, we believe in better. It's Wildean's House.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com. I'm not afraid of getting old now, unless day from dying young. I see the light and go past my shoulder now, unless day from dying young.
We'll get to Wonelli in a second. But as if on cue, exactly what we were talking about with Jordan Love. He gets pressured. Now, Rob Reichel of Pompey Media, who was down there watching, told me that Lucas Van Ness probably had a sack on the play. But nevertheless, they're not live. So he eluded Van Ness and made a great, like, off-platform, off-rhythm throw to the right sideline to Matthew Golden. It's the kind of stuff that he's capable of doing. And one of the things that he's so good at is making those subtle movements in the pocket to create space to make throws. So those are the types of plays that Joe's talking about, that I'm talking about, that if he does that on a consistent basis, you know, I dare I say the sky's the limit, Joe?
You should say it, because that's the truth. I mean, we've all seen the talent. We've seen the accuracy, the ability to move in the pocket. I mean, you don't want to compare him to anybody, but, I mean, there's a lot of Aaron Rodgers in his ability and his skill sets. And if he's able to improve that consistency and find it within himself to build enough confidence where he can bounce back after he sees some adversity, the sky is the limit. I mean, I'm not ready to put my money down on the MVP like Jesse and Tausch, but I'm not surprised. I'm 100% in your boat on that.
Because you're reinvesting in Hall of Fame. Time now for Wonelli.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rucker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, "Mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide."
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Wonelli
on Wildy and Tausch.
All right, Jason, I asked you yesterday, were you going to watch the Brewers game last night? Did you watch the Brewers game?
I did not.
That's disappointing. That's very disappointing.
So, Sal Frelick's home run, though, on social media. I did it to be, in fairness to me, Jesse, I never turned the TV on. I was inundated with work and pet care. Paula and the girls were coming home today. They just got home from Minnesota. So I wanted to make sure I got all my laundry done, all my litter boxes cleaned, all my dishes done, and I'm very particular about how I load the dishwasher as well, as we learned earlier.
Whoa,
so I never turned the TV on at all.
All right, well, you missed a fun game. Brewers were down 3-0 after the top of the first inning, outscored the Cubs 8-1 the rest
against
of the way.
Against the Miz?
Now, the Miz didn't have a bad inning. The umpire at home plate might have been squeezing him a little bit. There was a couple of walks that probably shouldn't have been, a base hit that came after what should have been strike three. So, it was, you know, maybe not the best.
But he responded to adversity, but, like Jordan Love has to do, according to Joe Thomas.
Exactly. And that brings me to the tweet that I saw last night from Brad Nortman, yesterday's cousin sub of the day. Clinical game by the Brewers. Sign of a great team. They have their best games against good opponents. Cubs, Dodgers, and so on. That was from Brad last night. I love that tweet because I do think it's different about the Brewers this year compared to past teams. Let me ask the Pro Football Hall of Famer, Joe Thomas. Now, team success aside, as Jason often likes to say.
Thanks for the reminder.
When you were on some of your best teams in your career, whether that was at Wisconsin, Cleveland, you can go back to high school if you want to, what does it say when you're able to have your best games against the best competition that's out there?
It means you were ready for the big moments. I always prided myself in being at my best when my best is needed. And I think that's something that a lot of the great coaches have always talked about. When I've been in those rooms with those guys getting the pregame speech, it's like, hey, it's great if we got number 20 through 53 having a great game. They're very important. They're vital. But really, if we want them in big games, we got to have our best players play at their best. And this season, as Jordan Love, we got to see what he's going to do here.
Jason, have you heard this talking about the Packers in recent years?
No, I mean, certainly not last year, right? They're 0-6 when their best was needed. They lost six games and didn't win a single one against the three teams that finished in the NFC with a better record than them. They went 0-2 against the Eagles to open and close their season with playoff loss. They went 0-2 against the Vikings, and they went 0-2 against the Lions. That's another aspect of this team. And you know, Xavier McKinney was talking about that the other day. Like, hey, man, we got to be better when the money's on the table. And they, if they are that this year, because there's going to be more of those games this year, right? I mean, I don't know what Chicago's going to be. I still don't know exactly what Detroit's going to be. And more importantly, Jordan Love just threw an interception. And I don't know what the Vikings are going to be with their new... And now on the other, they're two spotting, and both quarterbacks threw interceptions within moments of each other.
Great.
I think the one at this end was Sean Clifford. Literally like seconds apart.
Good defense, but, or bad quarterback play from what you could see from miles away?
It's a hard spot to judge. Looked like maybe Jordan's throw could have been caught, maybe even was deflected into an interception. But to your point, and to Joe's point, that he's exactly right. I mean, you hear coaches talk about it all the time. You know, greatness comes when you deliver your best when your best is needed. And that's another aspect of this team that they're going to have to do it. You're right about the Brewers. They have done great with that. My only apprehension for all my Brewers fan friends that care deeply about that team is that if there's, not only just threw another, Clifford just threw on successive plays, he threw interceptions. That one to Kalen King, we would turn to professional.
Cliffy.
I just the big red dog. I just think that, you know, I'd be worried that there's, after an 11 game winning streak, that there'll be some sort of not market correction, but they're going to have a tough patch. And going back to what Joe was saying earlier, how they respond to that is what's going to decide just how far they go.
Another game tonight, 6:40 first pitch on 620 WTMJ, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 95.3 WBEV in Beaver Dam, and locally on TV, Channel 6 in Milwaukee and WISC-TV in Madison. Jason.
Familiar with their work over there.
Yeah,
indeed.
All right. The Brewers game tonight.
We need to make time for Joe Thomas to have the last word, because we're so lucky to have him. As a friend and as a cousin, some of the day, cousin subs, we believe better. We'll wrap things up next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
We're on the Packers.
There's a lot of guys that have shown they belonged.
Because we're on Wisconsin sports.
I don't know if they've shown that they have staying power and that they're really, really good.
Nobody covers the green and gold like 100.5 ESPN.
Wrapping up with Joe Thomas, our cousin sub of the day, the Pro Football Hall of Famer on Wildy and Tausch. So, Joe, your life, again, I would take yours. You got a great life, and we love you. I am curious, you got any more room in your schedule to spend more time with Tausch and I, or you just got too much going on these days? Because when we first started, we were stealing you for all the time. And today was just such a blessing to have you for 3 hours.
Well, you know how much I love coming on here with you guys and being in studio. It's just great. You know, it's that good, friendly, human interaction, brotherhood that you miss a little bit after you leave the locker room and you retire. But The Hall of Fame beef business is just taking up a lot of time, and then four rugrats chasing them around and, you know, making sure I unload the dishwasher the right way for Annie every time. It's just, you know, it's taking up a lot of time, but you know what? That just makes these moments even more special and more savored for me. I mean, this is a day that I probably will never forget the rest of my life. Being able to be here with my guy, Jesse.
Come on.
And Jason, and no Tausch. So it's been one of the highlights of my media career for sure at this point.
And the best beef in America.
That's right.
Or maybe the world.
Probably the world.
I don't know what the thing
is. I'll let you choose for yourself. HallOfFameBeef.com. Order some, then you can tell me what you think.
Well, thanks for carving out 3 hours for us. We love it when you're here. We look forward to the next time that we are able to fit into your schedule. And the next time Tausch is out, because Lord knows that happens a lot.
I got a desk you can today. Put that tray on out here yeah. Before you go.
I see the natives are outside about to break down this door here because they want some more of this Wagyu beef. I'm getting nervous. I may have to leave out the back door like a rock star.
There is that back door. It goes right to the bathroom. They never even know you were gone. So good luck with that, Joe. That is Joe Thomas, our cousin, son of the day, the Pro Football Hall of Famer. And that is it for us today. Packers practice rolls on. That's it for the show. Thanks for coming along for the ride. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.
Miss any of today's episode of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Commercial-free full show podcasts are available free on the ESPN Wisconsin app.